Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, July 18, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of John, reading in chapter 19. Let me arrange things here. Okay, chapter 19, Gospel of John, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. Also, which betrayed him knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. And asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus, and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions or any announcements? Jen?
John, I don't have any particular questions. Can you hear me now, John?
Yep, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, my DSL is a little bit spotty tonight. I don't know how it's going to go. Occasionally, I get this question. I don't have any that were sent in this week. Wanting to know about the Convention of States, and there are groups around, and they're trying to get all the states lined up, and they're wanting to know if we would like to join with them and help getting more states on board. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, I'm not familiar with what exactly they're doing. Who's organizing this? Do we have any information on that?
Well, it's a national group, and there are 20 states, I believe, signed up so far, and they're pushing to get more states on board so they can have a convention of states.
Yeah, but what exactly are they trying to do? Do you know, or do we have any information, or maybe anybody else that's here might know?
They want to get term limits and things like that.
Well, you know, we have to pay attention and focus in on the important things. I mean, that's important, of course. You know, term limits is a very simple thing. Just don't walk their papers. Again, you know, but the people have to decide to have government by consent in order to have that power and authority, and then deny them the walking of the papers. Also, you know, if we can get government by consent, and it's up to the people to do that, we here at National Liberty Alliance have provided for all the education and the organization and the communications between the different groups in order to, achieve that. And when once that's achieved, there are certain things we could do on a national level. If we can get a majority of the counties, we've got over 3,000 counties, but if we could just get maybe two-thirds or three-quarters of the counties, get a majority of the counties, then we can literally take 100% control of our government. And you know, we can then, those of us who walk the papers to get individuals elected and get them onto the ballot to become elected, and then require of them at the same time, and no matter who's in office, we can require them also because we have the power to recall, require them to be obedient unto the people and do certain things. For instance, to write in the requirement of limited time in office, depending on what it is. And there's a lot of things we need to do. Some of it we can do quickly in the courts. For instance, And I think right now it's a ripe time. I just wish I had the time right now to write these papers on different issues. But right now, I think it's a great time considering what the United States Supreme Court is doing and all of the wins we've been getting. Finally, we're becoming constitutional again. We're getting the Constitution back, and the Supreme Court is standing up for this. And so, for instance, we can... I'm feeding back to somebody, by the way, if everybody can mute their mic. You know, for instance, you know, the 17th Amendment, that's null and void for numerous reasons. Number one, it was never ratified. That we can prove. But irrelevant to ratification or not, the main reason, it's unconstitutional, it's unlawful. It destroys the balance of power between the states and the federal government and the people. So the 17th Amendment needs to go. The 16th Amendment is going to kind of fall apart as time goes on because of what Trump is doing. But that, again, is also something that needs to be gotten rid of. And we can do that in the courts. We can challenge that in the courts and force the courts to do that. And we can also push on the political side of those things if we're going to pursue government by consent, by actually people getting involved and getting these committees of safety going. We also need to resurrect the original 13th Amendment. That in itself will destroy the Bar Association. But again, that is another thing that we could take before the Supreme Court and pursue and push. So these are victories that are sensible that we can do right now. Now, getting for a convention of the states, I'm not sure what's behind all that. I would like to know who the people are to put it together. I'd like to know what their charter is concerning their approach, what it exactly they're trying to do. I'd like to understand exactly what it is that they understand about the Constitution and the common law. So there's a lot of questions on that. So I think, I don't know who asked the question, but do we know who asked that question? Maybe whoever asked that question can get us that information. Or maybe someone else who's listening can get us that information. You know, who are these people? What is their goals? What are they trying to do? And sometimes I think, you know, we waste time. And I think we all do that to some degree. But I know certain things that people are trying to do is a waste of time. For instance, trying to form different things to do something about the elections. That's already been taken care of. It's through the motions. It's on right now. The Supreme Court has made lots of rulings already on that. And things are unfolding and coming out. So that's something that we shouldn't be focusing in on. I think what we need to really be focusing in on, the most important thing to focus in on, is education. If we're not educated, how can we govern ourselves? How can we know the Constitution? How can we know if they're obedient to the Constitution? How can we know how to apply the Constitution? How can we know how to have government by consent if we don't know these things? So I think that's the most important thing. But definitely any group that seems to be doing something good, and this does sound like something good, but I think we need to know more about it. And I think we need to know exactly what the plan is. So if we can discover that, maybe we can become interested and work together with these people. You know, after all, we are National Liberty Alliance. We're trying to get other groups to align with us. We have to be compatible with them in order to, you know, go forward. And we don't have to agree on everything, but we do have to be compatible. And so we need to find that out. So, yeah, I don't know if you can recall who asked those questions, Jan, but if you can find out and see if they can get more information, or if, again, someone else that's listening in could do that, that'd be good, too. So anything else that you can think of that we need to respond to, Jan?
Yeah, I tracked down one of the emails, John. It says the mission is to limit federal power, mandate fiscal responsibility, and impose term limits. That's all the information that they
yeah, but we have to know who. There's got to be a charter for this. If there's no charter, then I wouldn't even think, or some kind of whatever they want to call it. If we can't know exactly what they stand for, then we have to be careful to get involved with them. Is that you, Terry?
Yeah, that's me. Can you hear me all right?
Again.
Article 5 of our Constitution gives the states the right to hold a convention for the presentation of amendments to our Constitution. Mm-hmm. It's not only the Congress that can do that, but the states can do it.
Absolutely.
And the rules are that they have to send in requests for a convention, and once they get I can't remember if it's two-thirds, 34 states, then it's supposed to be scheduled, and everybody's supposed to have one vote, or every state have one vote. And there's a lot of stuff. Publius Hulda is...
So they're talking about is a con then. So what they're talking about, Constitutional Convention?
No! It's not a constitutional convention. It's a convention for the presentation of articles for amendments to the Constitution. It's
That's
not
a constitutional convention. In other words, they want to make amendments. And, you know, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I think first, if we can apply the Constitution for what it says, if we can actually get these people to obey it, that's going to require the people to decide to have government by consent. There's no other way. No matter what you think, do, or say, there is no other way. But once we can apply that and get that going, and then we execute what we have, then we can step back and look to see what we lack. I don't know that we lack anything. Even putting someone into power too often, too many years, too many terms. You know, you got all these people that are lifetime, senators or representatives or whatever the case may be. Again, that's up to us to do. I mean, we can try. I think I see that as a constitutional convention. That's what I see it as. If they're bringing up articles that makes amendments, it's a constitutional convention.
Can I, read Article 5?
Sure.
The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by the conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. There's nothing in there about a constitutional convention to rewrite the Constitution.
No. I'm not talking about rewrite. No, constitutional convention is not just rewriting the Constitution. A constitutional convention is ultimately a convention of people coming together to write new articles to add to the Constitution. And that's exactly what that's talking about.
But it still requires three-fourths the state.
I understand that, but here's the key point. Who's behind this? What's the force? What's the ideas? Have they shared? You know, all this should be laid out. If I was doing something like that because I thought that would be the needed thing to do, which I don't at this point in time, and I wouldn't totally throw that on the side, of course. If people are doing that, I'm interested. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to see and see if I can agree with that and support it. And it's very important to understand what their agenda is. I want to know what their agenda is. And if it's a broad agenda of A, B, and C, it's not good enough. No, we need to know exactly their purpose, what it is they're doing. There has to be an agreement, a consensus of all the people involved going forward with this, so everybody knows exactly what we're going to get involved with, so it doesn't take... Because right now, we're in a very precarious time. We're just gaining power back. We haven't got it totally back yet, but we're just gaining it back. And probably to set something like this would probably end up being after devolution anyway. But the question becomes is what our really needs are. And I could tell you, tell me some of the thoughts. I think you mentioned some of the ideas of what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it was just a group of people that said, we the people can do this. All we got to do is go to these states and talk to them and see if they want to apply to Congress. And so they made up an application, and when Congress sees it, it's been tried in the past, and when Congress gets it, they look at it, and if it's not very close to the same thing, they throw it out, and it never gets going.
Yeah, but it was passed by Congress. Two-thirds of the states could be passed. Three-quarters of the states could pass beyond Congress.
They have to put an application to Congress to...
Well, they may have to, but it can't be just poo-pooed. It's got to be considered. It's like, again, what does it say? Three-quarters or two-thirds? What does it say?
To have it, you have to have two-thirds. But then, once it's proposed, then it has to go through the same process that all other amendments. It has to be approved by three-quarters of the states.
Exactly. That's the point. Not the existing federal Congress. It has to be approved by the states, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And I have not really sunk my teeth into that to see, but I get back... And I don't think it's worthwhile discussing until we know the meat of the matter. What exactly is their plan? You have to have a plan. You can't just go in there. The other thing is this. It makes me think, you know, because I hear this, and I'm not hearing a plan with it, but and you would imagine if you hear something like this, you'd hear at least part of the plan. And
I'll look for their applications and drop a link to their applications.
Yeah, let's look into it. Maybe we can get someone to dig deep into it for us.
And if you
got the time, maybe dig deep into it, get the details, and then produce it to me. But here's the thing. You know, there is a safe way of doing this, and I think this is the first order of business. And the first order of business is the Republic Review. Let's clean up the Republic. Let's get rid of all the garbage that's in our legislation that needs to go. Let us straighten our Congress out and our Senate out. Let's return power of the Senate back to the states. Let's get all these things in order first and then see where we stand. If we continue to get decisions from the United States Supreme Court that we've been getting over the past couple of weeks, and we continue to get these constitutional decisions properly, looking at the Constitution and making these decisions, And we could start to get the government from the same fashion once we get rid of all these criminals, end them up at, get rid of these guys. And again, that's up to the devolution to take care of that. And we get to that point, now we can start talking and see if we can actually get a communications with our servant government, whether they actually will respond to us as a generality, even without the power, because the people don't have the power. They just don't have the power. You got to vote, but that's not power. It's not enough power. Power is when you tell them to do something and they don't do it and you could do something about it. That's power. And people don't have that. And you cannot have it until the people step up and get government by consent. And that can only be accomplished from all, and I've been researching this for over 13 years now, and there is no other way than the way that we have found, and it's the proper way, the Founding Fathers' way. And that's coming together with the committees of safety, taking control of the political and the judicial process on the grassroots level, and requiring them to be obedient. And if they're not obedient, if they're breaking the law, we can indict them and get rid of them. And if they're just being disobedient and not obeying, then we can recall them. But one person can't recall them, or one or two or three committees of safety can't recall them. We need a majority of the counties to be doing this.
Where is a government review in the Constitution?
It's a Republic review. That's been done before. I don't have all of the details. As a matter of fact, GR is supposed to be coming on soon to talk to us about it.
I just read to you Article 5. I went through Article 5 myself before I...
A Republic review is something that has been done in the past, okay? And a Republic review makes a lot of sense, which is let's review our republic. Let's see what's going on. Let's challenge that which is unlawful. Let's fix something that is broken and put it back together again to bring the government back into order. I mean, if there ever was a time that we need a republic review, today is the day. But the expert on that particular subject matter is GR. And last time I spoke to GR, I know he was going to be talking, and he's going to talk to us one Monday night. And I've been so busy, I haven't thought much about it. But that's what we need to do, I think, is get GR out here. But let's get more information on what you're doing. And I'd like to find the founders, the individuals. Let's communicate with them. Do you think you might be able to find them, Terry?
Yeah, I know most of them.
Okay, let's get them into a private conversation, if you can. Set something up.
I don't think we can.
Huh?
I don't think I can, but I will look.
Oh, okay. You don't think you know them, or you don't think they'll want to?
I've met almost all but one of them, the four people that actually started the convention for proposing amendments.
Do I know any of them?
States. You might. Rob Madelson, a guy named Barry. Of course, when I need the information, it's stuck in my head.
Yeah, I know. That happens to me, too.
But a lot of it started here in Colorado.
I'd like to have a communications with them. If they don't want to have communications, then why bother doing anything? I would like to see, again, approaching something like this, a paper should be written and a plan. And let's, whatever you want to call that, okay? But there has to be something that is a plan. I would call it a charter. Because if you're going to go forward on a plan, something this big, I would think you'd need a charter to do that. This is what our plan is. This is what we intend to accomplish. And then we can find agreement.
They call it a convention of states is what it's called.
Okay. Well, if you can connect and let me to have a conversation with these individuals, and we can have all of National Liberty Alliance leadership, invited to that. And then after we have a conversation to see what they're doing and the compatibilities of us, then if we're interested in going forward, we'll bring it up on a Monday night program and discuss it further. But with that, until that happens, I don't know that we can do anything. But the Republic Review, you can go up onto our website here and go under Start a Committee of Safety and come down to the Republic Review for anybody who wants to get information on this. And we've got quite a few videos on this. We have a plan. And we have the Republic Review argument in bullet point format. The irrefutable argument for a Republic Review, in accordance with Article 7 of the Constitution. The Constitution is a compact contract written for and by the states. The legal definition of ratification is the action of signing or giving formal consent to a treaty, compact, contract, or an agreement, make it officially valid. For the compact contract to be given force, it requires a threshold of stakeholders buy-in state by state. I'm not going to read through all this, but people who are interested should go through this and read through this and see what a Republic Review is, because I think that's the proper prescription for today.
Okay, I just dropped the link to the Convention of States website in your site.
But anyway, I think, and again, I know this is a proper prescription, because what this is doing is setting us back on course. And then once you're back on course, then you could see your deficiencies. Right now, it's difficult to see your deficiencies. It's extremely difficult to see the deficiencies, anybody who's not educated in the Constitution and doesn't understand the powers and authorities we've given them, what we've vested them with, and what the jurisdictions are for each part of this of these agencies, of our government. So that's a prerequisite, number one. And I will tell you, I have found very few people that are involved in these movements that know much about the Constitution, very little at all. And that is that's really kind of dangerous to have a group of people coming together to try to discuss something if they're not educated. They don't understand what it is they're talking about. They don't understand what our founding fathers did. They don't understand what the deficiencies are that should be, that we shouldn't have, because the Constitution is already in place and should correct this. I don't think that the Constitution really lacks much. It's just that people don't know it and we're not executing it. That's what I see. And so anyway, this I'm going to be I'll talk to GR and see if we can't get him maybe next week or one of these coming up Mondays to come and talk to us, get into details, and then we can get into a lot of Q&A with him, and he can get into more details. He's the expert on this. From what I have discovered and went through, I am very much interested in this. I very much support what he's doing. And he's going from state to state because this requires the states, exactly like you're talking about, Terry. It's a requirement to the states, and the states can press this forward if you can get the states to agree. And again, I don't remember what it is, two-thirds maybe. And if you get that, then they have no choice. It has to be done. And correction can and will be made by those groups of people to get rid of all this unconstitutional issues. Which, you know, again, there's another way of dealing to some degree of that which is applied upon the people, which is unlawful. And that is to recognize the fact that the difference between equity and law. And again, we could take that to the Supreme Court and require that people can't be charged with issues under USC 18, USC 26, USC 28. None of those things apply to the people. It applies to commercial activities. And it also applies to government agencies. It doesn't apply to us. And we can get a decision on the United States Supreme Court on that. We have a friendly Supreme Court that finally has arose and stepped up and is starting to do the right thing. And I see this as all part of the plan, the devolution plan. The Supreme Court, I believe, is part of this. In other words, they're enemies, foreign and domestic, within our government, specifically, who's trying to destroy us from within, and it's been going on for a very long time. And I know the Supreme Court is much aware of it. Some of those are the enemies in the Supreme Court for that, and some of them, of course, are not for that. Now we have the majority that's not for that. Let's see where we go with some of these things. I'll get all the GR, like I said. We'll talk about that, and then we'll start looking at some of these other issues. Anything else from you, Terry, or Jan? And by the way, the Q&A is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue? *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and I guess there's a little tab there if you're on an app.
If you go down on that web page, it has a who is the leadership, and then you can look at it. So,
And you're talking on Skype, right?
Yeah, I gave you the link on Skype. It's called the Convention of States. Mark Meckler.
I have heard of this, but I don't know. I don't recall what I know about it. Let's see. Okay, there it is, Convention of States. Let's see if we'll open that up. Well, you see right here, the very first thing, simply, you know, why call a Convention of States? Simple, to bring power back to the states and the people where it belongs. Well, what good is that if people don't know how to execute that power? That's the key point of that National Liberty Alliance. That's my main point. You can't govern with ignorance because you'll just get more problems. And if you want to bring power back to the states, that's a real simple one. Let's get rid of the 17th Amendment. You get rid of that, and it's done. Done deal, states have the power back, because now they got their own representatives. And when they send an individual to be a senator, two senators from every state, you send into Washington, and if those senators don't do the will of the legislator, then they recall them and send someone else. And that's the way it is. That's the power and the authority of the states. And the people have to have the same power. We send people in. We send our representative in. And let's say the representative that represents us maybe covers 4 or 5 counties, okay, within our state. And we're working together with those individuals, those 4 or 5 counties. And they all have their committees of safety going. And these people share the same congressman, let's say. And this congressman is, and you don't even need all 4 or 5. You can get away with half of them. But you have enough people to be able to walk the papers for recall if they're not going to be obedient. And the other thing is when these people in power understand that the committee men are no more, that this is the true committee man, that is the county committee is speaking to them, they become obedient. Why would they become obedient? Because there's only one way to get onto the ticket and to get those people to walk those papers. And that would mean that the political parties are defunct. They've fallen apart. They have no more power. They've lost their membership as far as all of their slaves running around and carrying papers. I once was one of their slaves carrying their papers and getting signatures to get someone onto the ballot. Well, that is no more. So that's the power. I'm telling you that when the county chairman calls up an individual from within the, you know, that's within their political subdivision, congressman or whatever it may be, and they want to talk with them, they get a quick response and they get obedience. But the obedience is really coming from party bosses, and that's the problem. So, all right, anyway, I'll have to look into this. I just obviously can't look into it right now. But have you been through this website? Have you seen a charter or a plan?
I used to maintain the internal software that they were using and for my state. And it was actually for everybody. And I think they've since changed that because I walked away from it some time ago.
All right, well, I'll look into it. You know, again, I'm interested to understand what the plan is and what their understanding of the Constitution is and the people involved, what their education is and in the sense of knowledge of the Constitution and the political and the judicial process, because if they're not, it's just worthless. Spinning our wheels, and we have no clue where we're going to end up at the end of the day. We have to know where we're going to end up. Okay. I'll set that aside. We'll look into it. Do we have anybody in the queue? Yeah, we have a couple people in the queue. Before we move over to the queue, I don't see Brent here yet. He usually comes in a little late, but you don't see him yet, do you?
No, I don't see him, John.
Yeah. Okay. If there's nothing else, we'll go to Q&A, I guess, and see once what we can get going there. Okay, let's take our first caller, 954 area code, I think. Let's see. Let me hit the button first and see where we end up. Next question. Okay, yep, 954 area code.
Hi there, it's me.
How you doing?
All right, well, you should know my voice by now.
Yep.
I shouldn't have to announce myself. So a couple things. Just to let you know, right after we talked, I ran my bank account into the negative just to get your book last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be here on the 31st. I ordered it directly from Amazon. Number two.
And you're talking about the Court Access book?
Yes.
I want to tell you something. This Court Access book that I ordered, because I did finally get one myself, and they did a really beautiful job, much sturdier. When I look at the book that I got out there by the, a publisher, I'm depressed. Yeah. I'm depressed. I'm just depressed on the difference of the work. Amazon done a much better job, a much better quality. I mean, a beautiful, beautiful book. Again, I'm really impressed with it. As a matter of fact, I have taken my book right now, Government by Consent book, okay, and I'm going to do a hardcover book, and I know I can get this hardcover book at the same price, maybe even cheaper. I don't know. I'll take a look to see what's involved with it, but I'm almost done with that, as a matter of fact, and I'm hoping maybe by next week, maybe it'll be up for sale in hardcover, that is Government by Consent in hardcover. But they did do a really good job. I'm impressed. And it looks like something. And I did hardcover for a reason, because I knew, you know, this is a book that becomes a reference book. And you'll be opening and closing it and going through it and referring to it and that kind of thing. So with that being the case, you need something of good quality. This is definitely good quality.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Well, as educated as I am, and I tell you I have a master's degree, I don't read quickly. I read slowly. So when I'm studying and I'm looking for something, I kind of have to do what's called a book review. Otherwise, it would take me a long time to actually read word for word. And I'm kind of in a hurry to get to the subject of the Quoranto. You know, if you offhand maybe can point me to the
Well, yeah, you know, you go right to the Ritz. Go right to the Ritz. As a matter of fact, I might have done a chapter on the Quoranto itself. I don't recall, but definitely would be with the Ritz. Uh-huh. If not, the Ritz Quoranto would be Ritz. And yes, you have enough experience. that when you open this book up and start to go through all of the different chapters here, the table of contents, you'll be able to pull what you need out very quickly. You'll see logically put together. But I do strongly suggest for educational purposes, okay, I strongly suggest, even though you're going to use it that way, to set some time aside and read it as a book. And forget about what you understand is one thing, and what you don't understand is another thing. You struggle with, you move on. You know, it's like education is little by little. And you've got some knowledge already of the courts. You've been to the School of Hard Knocks. You understand a lot of different things. So for you, this is going to be pretty easy. For someone else that's just totally brand new to this, it's going to take a little time. But again, you know, no pain, no gain. That's the game.
Yeah.
But
in my earlier days, I gained a lot of writing experience from working for attorneys because I'm actually a certified legal secretary. I went to school, I graduated from secretarial school. That was my first degree. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked in various fields of law, patent, trademark, matrimonial. You know, I know all statutory, but still I work, I got exposure to legal writing. But then in my nursing degree, we got exposed also to tort, more in depth to tort because, being careful about patients' information and even with your coworkers and even discussing things like in the elevator, things like that, how easy it is to get sued, stuff like that, But, ever since I was I came out of secretarial school, about 37 years ago was my first experience to law itself. And going immediately into work, going to work while even in school and working for also agencies, I got to work for various fields of law with exposure and to write, was my first exposure. Now, later on, I prayed and was blessed with certain people that came into my life that introduced me to the Constitution. Now, I have to agree with you concerning that. The Constitution, I have a problem with people trying to tamper with it, okay? Mm-hmm. And I once had a partner that, because he didn't know how to use it, he kept on saying the Constitution is silent. It's because he didn't know how to use it. I had to learn because of being ostracized and kidnapped and, all kind of things, nearly killed a few times, how to use it as a weapon, against these tyrants. You know what I'm saying? And I honestly believe in you. I think people should leave it alone. It's a matter of knowing how to use it. It's very strong the way it is,
Right.
It's just knowing how to use it is the problem.
That is the key, and that is the problem at the same time because, look, why did we lose the 13th Amendment? We lost the 13th Amendment because people are ignorant to the Constitution. How did we get the Organic Act of 1871? Well, we got that because people were ignorant to the Constitution. How did we get the 16th Amendment? How did we get the 17th Amendment? How did all these things come about? How did the Supreme Court abrogate the common law? How is it that they brought in the rules of civil law and not the rules of common law? It's because of ignorance. People cannot you can't get up here and play around with the Constitution if you're ignorant. We have to be educated. I mean, seriously educated in this subject matter, which ultimately is the common law. And if we're not, we're going to get more and more trouble. Right. I would be very nervous about the achievement of such a movement. Because even if you say, well, okay, we're getting the states involved, well, you can't have an elected official involved in this. I mean, as far as the debate and the argument in order to get an amendment, because that is the conflict of interest, because they are politicized. And it becomes a problem.
They don't even have the same wisdom. You got to remember, just like the apostles.
Yeah, they don't even know the Constitution.
The founding fathers kind of come out like the apostles. You got to watch it because the people of today don't have the same kind of wisdom, God-given, inspired, God-breathed wisdom that they had then. That's the difference, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know anybody today.
We watched that program. We watched that video last week. I think it was like 30 minutes long. It was a short one. It wasn't long. And that video that we watched, and then when the guy got to the point when the people that came together, the 39 individuals that came together in order to actually put this whole thing together, they were already well-seasoned and educated and well-learned in common law and history and understanding the difference of different governments. And you know, the plan was, and it's important to note here, that this plan wasn't just executed and then just jumped upon in the past, in 2 years of debate that created the Federalist Papers.
The Federalist Papers,
the Anti-Federalist Papers. All of that was years and years of study and research and work together, and it's mostly the work of Madison and Jefferson, their work. And then it was portrayed and brought together and debated and argued step by step, point by point, all the way through the whole process. They came in with a plan, and the plan was well-researched. And that's what I'd like to see before anybody goes in and fiddles around with our Constitution. What's the plan? And let's see that it was well-researched. I want to see footnotes on every thought and idea that they got. And if they don't have that, I'd be very nervous about it.
Right. But I have to emphasize, and hear me very clearly, the word God breathes. Just like those who wrote the scripture, it has everything to do with the mindset and the capability of doing anything with it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they were. They were God.
They had exactly the mindset.
God breathes. God breathes.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody messing with this, calling themselves, trying to improve it, better be God breathed. And as far as I know, no one's like that these days.
Oh, that is true, because we receive our liberty through blessings. It's a blessing. Liberty is a blessing.
Right.
You get it no other way. People think that we can intellectually get to it. It can't happen. It just cannot happen. And but I would love to speak with these people if they'll talk to me. Yeah. I'd love to eat their brain up a little bit and find out where they're at. And if they're on the right track and they need education, we'll offer education and see what we can do. If they're not willing to work that way, then then obviously that tells us everything we need to know.
I hear you. Now, one other thing, before I know you got to get me off eventually. I told you long ago, I have quite a bit of experience in some certain bastard race areas. You know, I used to publish a paper long ago, and I have a lot of experience with advertisement. Now, and I told you with recruiting and organizing people. Now, all right, in one day now, I already have 40 people just in one day. I'm already coming to a meeting Wednesday on the COS. Okay, I've volunteered to take on two counties in two different states. I have a vested interest in that. All right, one in Texas. Okay, right, because I came here and I got married. But I told you the roots of my experience of treachery, suffering is in Florida. So I've taken on Broward County. Now, I'm back in touch with, I told you, the fellow that originally was on your thing. Now, I told John, you don't have on your site a way for me to put myself on both, but I found a way where I can do both at the same time.
Yeah, I believe we could do it. If you speak to Jan, just send Jan an email, Jan at National Liberty Alliance.
I did.
Give him your phone number. Yep. Tell him you want to work on two counties, and he'll set it up. And if he can't, he'll get to me, and we'll find someone to be able to set it up. But I don't think it should be a problem.
Yeah, I'm quite capable of doing it.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of attributing.
It's a matter of strategy and how to do it.
Yeah, well, for you, it's a big matter of strategy. What's the second state? You said Texas, and what's the other one?
Just for now, Texas and Florida. Now, I do have an interest in Alabama. I'll get to that soon. Okay.
Do you travel back and forth?
I went back there for 3 years after my mother died. I experienced some treachery there because obviously I was actually born there, but I grew up in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's why I know about Connecticut. Okay, I know everything about Connecticut. All right, I was there all my life, so I was 4 years old. Then I spent about 20-something years in Florida, so I know everything about Broward County. You see what I mean?
So you want to work in Florida? What is it? What's the name of the county?
Broward County. I'm recently down here from Broward County. That's where I was, a lot of things happened. I was kidnapped and drugged and a lot of things. And they have my grandchildren. Okay, and they really, there's too many things going on. Okay. Let me tell you. Remember I told you about the sheriffs? Okay. Remember I told you, okay, about a variety of things that happened. Okay, you may have heard of the news about Sergeant Chris Rica that was killed.
No, I don't recall.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
I think now it's been maybe, probably now, it's been now, already I think about it, it's been 10, let's see. I think it's now been probably 7 years now since he was killed. Okay. There was a lot going on, you know, at that time, and I that was one of the times even I was kidnapped and even drugged, okay? And they falsified, when we put people into, when we replace people into the sheriff's department, you're going to have to get rid of all of them, okay, because they're very anti-social. They don't have any restraint whatsoever, okay? You can't have a person with integrity and you replace the sheriff is there and you put a person with integrity and you have all those beastly animals, okay? Let me tell you what happened. They have the fear that people talk about it, okay? But they killed them because it's a long story, but it's a lot of things he knew was going on, and he was actually a Christian. He wasn't going along with the things that they were doing, and they eventually killed him. They falsified the murder and put out a reward. They put out a fraudulent picture of some thugs talking about it was thugs that did it, and that it was a 9mm, and they falsified about some white Ford. And it's in that to cover up their crime, but it was them that did it. I'm telling you, they did it.
Well, look, if they're criminals and they're evil, then yeah, they belong removed and possibly in jail, especially if they're criminals. And
so what I'm saying is, when you replace them,
there's a lot of them that are just distorted, and if you can feed them the right information, they might have their their moment, and
most you
like,
have to remove.
I would agree or disagree with you on that because
I do know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Most you will have to remove, especially internal affairs. Okay, mm-hmm. When you put a righteous person there, you're gonna have to remove the rest. There's no way he's gonna have a hard time if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah, I can't argue the point one way or the other, but I would agree that some people are evil; they got to go. Some people are potentially savable, so to speak, and could have their moment of realization, and maybe make a turn to the right direction. But the problem gets back to the same thing over and over and over again: education, lack thereof. No sheriff. I don't know of any sheriff that I've ever spoken to that has had a proper education from the process that they came into. They don't even offer that. A lot of these people were in law enforcement or the military, but particularly they were in law enforcement before they went for sheriff, and whether it's maybe deputy or maybe working for the police force. But again, they haven't got an education. How can you have law enforcers that don't have a proper education? They could be taught code enforcement, but that's not who they should be. They're not code enforcers. They're law enforcers. So
with an oath of office that says the Constitution of Florida and U.S. and city ordinance, what kind of junk is that?
Yeah. Well, look, the sheriff will never, ever get educated unless the people educate them. And the only way that's going to happen is if people step up and get educated themselves, obviously, and then involved with the Committee of Safety, building that, communicating with their sheriff, and requiring education of them. You see, you can force your education into doing the just, you can force your sheriff into doing the just thing. That could happen. again, if it's, and again, we've laid out a plan that I think is very powerful, and I think will work with most sheriffs. I mean, you will get the sheriff that is evil, and that's that. He's in office, he's evil.
Yeah.
You're not going to change that sheriff, and that's that. And I'm sure he'll, if you got an evil sheriff in there, then you got some evil deputies with them, and that's that.
Well,
and
let me ask you this.
Delphi.
How many of us does it take, one county or to get rid of, let's say, or, you know, to deal with a federal judge? But to see, they're not elected. See, they're appointed.
Well, you see, federal judges, to get rid of a federal judge, they have to be impeached. And they have to be impeached ultimately. But there's two ways to get rid of them, by the way. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is impeachment.
Okay.
And that has to be done. A federal judge, that has to be done on a federal level. That means Congress has to do their job. And we don't have a Congress
right.
that's willing to do their job at this
I
point.
I know. They're the problem.
I think we're going to have one soon. So that's one way. Now, there is another way. There is another way to get rid of a judge, and that's an indictment. And again, that's up to the people to work together, because you have to get a common law grand jury moving, and you got to get it acknowledged by the sheriff and in the court. And once that happens, then you indict a judge, and he's out of office. Okay.
So who are we going to feed him to at this point? You know, once we mine gets started, do you have the grand jury ready to feed him to?
Well, we have been doing for quite some time indictments on judges in very limited situations. For instance, habeas corpus is a real serious matter, and they have ignored habeas corpus. I mean, they believe, the bar believes and teaches that habeas corpus has been done away with. You know, hey, you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
But habeas corpus is used all the time just to move prisoners around. Habeas corpus
right.
is used. And,
I just recently filed that part of mine, habeas corpus.
So they're
working your process.
If they refuse to hear the habeas corpus and proceed with in a just manner with the process, and the process is very simple and quick, because they got three days to react, and they can ask for 20, and the judge should only allow anything more, like the judge should hear, well, why do you want 20? What do you need to do? This, that, or, well, I'll give you a 10. In other words, you just don't give people 20. They'll give anyone 20, I'm
sure. They've had my grandson for too many years. They shouldn't have it.
Well,
not even one.
That's because they've ignored it. They broke the law. You see, that's where we would do indictments on that. But you have to have documentation because we do the habeas corpuses, and then they just ignore them, and then we move them into indictment. So we've indicted over
one grandchild is 19 years old. And they've had it since he was born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a horror story. I've heard, and I know some firsthand information myself personally through other family members, where children are lost into the system. And family can't get.
I don't know if he's dead or alive.
Yeah, who are these people that think that government is more powerful than family? God didn't give them to government; He gave them to a family. And if that there's other family members that can deal with the problem, we don't need government to deal with our problems.
You ought to see the threshold questions similarly of what you're saying that I put in my affidavit. I put some threshold questions in there. It's going to be pretty rough to try to answer.
They'll ignore it, and they'll just move on, and they go on. And again, that's all unlawful. So anyway, getting back to what we are doing, habeas corpus, a denial of habeas corpus, we will indict, and we have indicted. A denial of dealing with the proper papers when there's a nonjudicial foreclosure and they ignore the law and go forward, we indict. Those are the two main things we indict for, and it's automatic at this point. So,
yeah, I referred somebody to you for that. They took her. She was in Kansas. It's a really bad story. You know,
We've been talking a while. If you want to get back into
it,
that'd be good. Okay, but any final words before we...
Well, I just want to say about just one last thing. Remember I was telling you last week about bonding. I was trying to make a comparison. Okay, insurance companies, you know, they do research and statistics, okay, as to who they will and will not, okay? When I was in nursing, you have to take insurance too. And so that's why they won't, if you got a terminal disease, as you know, they're not going to insure you because they know they're going to have to pay out. Well, that's one of the reasons no one's going to bond these people in Florida, all right, because they know they're going to have to pay out. They know because it's in there. They're going to have to pay out every time they do crimes, and they don't want to go bankrupt. These bonding
companies. Yeah, there's too many criminals in office. They know that. That's the problem. But I'll tell you, without a bond, they're not in office. There is no office. Yeah, that office could be taken away from them.
Well, I guess we got to take them all because
we have the same thing going on in New York. No judges are bonded in New York. None. And if you challenge them, they won't tell you that. But I found out because I went down to New York City. We found out through New York City.
I confront them head on. And I know how to find out if they have one or not. And one gritted his teeth at me, thinking he's God, talking about, you will not challenge this court. You will not ask me any questions. I told him, I said, I beg your pardon. I said, that right is reserved to me by the First and the Ninth Amendment. And we'll ask you again. I told him straight up, just like that. I'm going to ask you, I already knew the answer, though. I know how to find out. I said, do you or this city attorney has one? Because I already knew the answer, but I was going to make an answer on the record in that Star Chamber hearing. He gritted his teeth at me. I said, you, sir, right then and there, because he wouldn't answer. Because I said, we're not going to continue the court session until you answer that. Because I don't know that you have the right to continue due process.
Are you familiar with Bonds for the Wind? I know we've spoken about that. I don't know if you were here when we spoke about that. But Bonds for the Wind, have you heard about them?
Is that a bond agency?
It's bondsforthewinds.com. Bondsforthewinds.com.
Okay, because I've contacted many bonding agencies.
Are you able to see my desktop? Are you in on an app or what?
Not right now. I'm not in front of the computer right now.
If you go to our website underneath, start at the media safety, come down to Bond for the Win. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is an organization working to educate people and assisting people in the bonds. They've been very successful, I hear. And so we're supporting their work and offering people to go there if they want to work to try to hit someone's bond. If I was to go through the process, the next time I'm going to go through the process, and it will be a next time, I challenge them and want the bonds, I'm going to go through this process and use these people to assist me to get this through the process. If you're going to do a writ quo warranto, one of the things you're going to want is them to give you a bond. You're challenging their bond and their oath.
But I'm telling you, they don't have them. I know they don't.
I understand that. But then you're putting them on the spot, and they're in trouble. They got a problem.
Well, they continue anyway. I got the gun, what are you going to do about it?
I understand. You can only now build your case, but I think things are getting stronger. Okay? Again, just look what the Supreme Court is doing. I'm totally blown away. I'm impressed. Okay? The United States Supreme Court has finally stepped up and is starting to move back to the Constitution.
I wish they passed it down to the district court because they're still acting a fool there.
Well, they're pushing it down that way, and they got to come to the realization their day is over. They got to start being obedient or resign. But anyway, I got to move to the next call.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate the time. All right.
So anyway, I got a meeting Wednesday with two different counties at the same time.
All right. Okay. Let me move to the next caller. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 601 if you're on the phone, and if you're on an app, then there should be a button to push. How did you get into the queue? You were on a phone, right?
Well, me? I always talk on the phone. And your book will be here on the 31st.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me take the next caller. Thank you.
All right.
Uh-huh. Let's see. I'm going to hit the wrong button. This is a little confusing on this one. Okay, there it is. Okay, Ross, how you doing, Ross? You got the mic. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Go ahead, Ross.
Hello, this is Ross. You hear me?
I can hear you, Ross. Go right ahead.
You hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. You see my email for that website I send you?
Yes, I did see the email. Refresh my mind, because I remember going out to a website. I think you sent me to a website, and I started. What was it about again? Because I get a lot of emails.
It's about common law.
Okay, yes, yeah.
It's about the common law.
I couldn't get any information from them unless I signed up, and I can't. I'm not going to sign up to anything that I don't know anything about. It's just another thing,
okay,
you know.
You can't email the person, but she was.
I did. I sent an email to. There were two names there. Two email addresses. I sent an email to one of them. And I let them know who I was, gave them my website, and told them to take a look, and I'm interested in talking with them to see what they're doing and see if we're compatible, maybe we could work together, that kind of thing. So I did send an email out,
okay.
But I have not seen the site because I can't get in without going through, you know, giving them my email, creating a username. I'm not going to do that on a site that I have no knowledge about, so I'm just not going to do it. I question why people do that because, you know, I know with National Liberty Alliance, we decided from the very beginning to give everything up. And it wasn't until many years had gone by in order to get some money, in order to get some support, because I funded this whole thing and been funding it for a lot of years. And only a few years back, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, we finally went into the black. We've been operating in the red all the way along. I spent a lot of money keeping things going and putting things together. But, you know, we've given everything free because we want people to see it and get educated, consider it, and join up. And people have joined. We've got a pretty good membership. We have one or two courses that, you know, we require them to be premium members, which is only given $5 a month or more, so it's no big deal. And maybe one or two pages that they can't get to unless they're members. And basically one of them is forms, which we may have opened up. I don't remember. But in any event, you know, I don't like to go to a website where you can't get in unless you give them information about yourself. So. But I did send them info, and I'll talk to them about that if they communicate with me, and I gave them my phone number too, so if they communicate with me, you know, after I have some conversation, I'm going to talk with them about that, especially if I think we can work together.
Yeah, because I send email, they do send email. It takes a couple of days before they respond.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sent it out quite a while ago. I think you must have sent it to me maybe about 4 days ago, 5 days maybe.
Yes.
So whenever you sent it out, I saw it and I did respond. So I am waiting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. See, they respond to me right away myself.
Mm-hmm.
That they told me to just join.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't give me. They just give me brief information, not all of it, because you have to sign up to get that rest of the information.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find out what
like
is.
That either.
Yeah, I got to find out what the information is. I don't know who they are. I don't know anything about them. And I look at their website. I know nothing about those people, and I can't discover anything about them.
Oh, they. Yeah.
You know.
They have YouTube videos about. It's called, but. Except Babylon is the videos they have for.
Well, if you can send me a copy of the video, if I can. Is this on YouTube or where is the video?
Yeah, it's YouTube, on YouTube.
All right, if you could drop me a YouTube on that and drop it to mail@nationallibertyalliance.org, I'll take a look at it. I'm sure others will that get the email might look at it too. And maybe I can, you know, draw some information from YouTube and get an idea of what they are. But again, if they don't respond to me, then, you know, I'm not going to chase them.
Yeah, I see. Good. That's the hard thing is because if they are teaching classes all that during the day, and they have to find time to respond.
Right. Right, but they have to have a plan. They have to have an explanation of who they are, what they're doing, and tell us something about them and what their plan is and what they're doing so that we can discover whether we want to participate, you know?
They show the steps of how many you have to do, like, step one, first notice is lay out the stage of what you want to do in the court. The second is the intent and what harm the government did to you.
So they're about court act. What exactly are they about? I kind of forget.
It's about common law. It means in the court system. Mostly oh,
okay.
The court system.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something.
Not the...
I'm willing to bet you that a high percentage of cases that are lost that shouldn't have been lost was because intent was not proven and they didn't know enough to build their case on innocent if there's no intent. You know, in order for there to be a crime, there has to be also intent of a crime. You know, if you accidentally kill someone, it's not murder, it's not manslaughter. Well, maybe you can call it manslaughter, but it's not a criminal act, okay? You cannot be criminally chased for something that you didn't intend on doing. Now, you may have been negligent, and then, of course, you have to now pay the penalty, which is not a criminal penalty, but it's a monetary penalty. so, you know, again... How many cases that I have seen and heard of that people never should have went to jail for because they didn't prove intent? Intent is key.
Yeah,
that's one of the keys.
Yes, it's the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people are lazy and not do it.
And the courts, and you would think that the court, you think that the court would champion that, but they don't even champion that. You know?
No.
So. I mean, but then, you know, you got a problem because they're bar attorneys, and I don't know that the bar attorneys are even taught about that, you know, because, again, I see these cases all the time. People never should have gone to jail. And then there's cases with jurisdictional problems, you know. I mean, goodness, you put it all together. Look at Judge Bork. He had said that 80% of the people in prison don't belong there. They're there only because they opened their mouth to begin with. The jurisdiction wasn't there, is, I think, his point.
I think the problem, I'm sure statutory first-degree murder, should that apply to the people or what?
Well, if there's intent, then you kill someone and there's intent, it's a crime. It's all about intent. What is the intent?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, let's take IRS cases. Let's take IRS cases.
Yeah.
Okay, IRS case should really be a very easy case to win because you have to have intent, and they can't prove intent. They can try to prove intent, but then you can always bring up the fact I relied and rested on what the United States Supreme Court says. And the United States Supreme Court says all the time, you don't have to pay taxes in the sense you don't have to give them anything. Ultimately. They don't have the power. They don't have the authority. Mm-hmm. The 16th Amendment does not say anything that gives them any more authority than was already there. It just put it back to where it belongs. It has nothing to do with the people, you know. And that's, of course, the income tax thing on the 16th
yes.
Amendment. But again, you know, I don't know. So.
Yeah, see, can we quit? Because statutory stuff applies to if you are in commercial activities and
working for an agency, a government.
Or working for a government yeah. agency. Meaning, statutory degree of murder just should apply to them, not the people. So they correct. Apply those statutes to the people.
Correct. And that is the point. Let me just make a note here that anybody wants to get into the queue. In fact, we only have Ross is the only one in the queue right now. So anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and hit the button if you're on an app. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Ross. Anything else?
Can we also collect stuff at the Nine Nations too? Through the court system or anything like that?
I missed the first part of that. Can we what?
United Nations.
Okay, the United Nations.
Yeah.
What about? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can we fix anything about that or we need to get rid of that organization.
Yeah, United Nations has to go. If it was up to me, I'd shut them down and send them out of New York City, send them out to sea or something. But, yeah, the purpose of the United Nations was a creation in order to be the assumed government of the New World Order, and they would all be puppets anyway. So, but, yeah, the whole thing behind the United Nations is evil. Destruction of our Constitution,
yes.
Destruction of our American way of life.
Oh, I think the original purpose was to keep world peace after World War II.
Well, that's what they say. You know, the United Nations was not a necessity. The United Nations acts like a governing body, okay? And their intentions and movement is in their direction. I could appreciate the fact. Well, look, we wouldn't have a problem if it wasn't for the New World Order. There probably wouldn't have been all these. There wouldn't have been no First World War. There wouldn't have been no Second World War. Most of these, all these other little, there probably would be no war at all. Hardly occasional conflict here or there, maybe. But it's all caused by these people. These people make money on war.
I think it's more the elite of society. Is behind that funding of the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
Means the upper, old money people, means the upper classes behind it, because they want just the average people have no power, just them to have the power.
Right, well, yeah, it's all the banksters, the billionaires, the big corporations, you know.
Yes. They are very corrupt people. When you get a lot of money, it corrupts you. The money encourages to be, because they presume money to be that makes them powerful if they have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need money to be powerful.
Well, what was it, Rothschild that said, "Give me control of a state's money, and they control everything." So, but that's not totally true though, because you have to corrupt the courts, and control the courts, and they have corrupted the courts, and they do control the courts through corruption. Because, but then that does get right back to money, doesn't it? Because that's how it's done, through money.
Yes.
So, and they got the money.
I think the same thing happened to England's courts.
Oh, absolutely.
The United Kingdom.
Well,
they
lost everything by the time the middle of the 1700s, you know, the 18th century. They've lost, everything at that point. I mean, it kind of still lingers there, and they do have a little success in the common law and pushing the common law, but they've lost it. They lost it obviously before us, and they were trying to destroy us, and they've done a damn good job of destroying us. We're not totally destroyed, but we're not far off. We're wounded bad and limping bad. The United States is in trouble because of ignorance. That's the key. Gets right back to the same thing over and over again.
I think because the upper society wants us to be ignorant.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's hard to define upper society. If you're talking about the elite, which is ultimately maybe at maximum 200 families, if that many. I heard 100. I've heard as many as 200. But the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, the Rockefellers, all those people, the Carnegies, those are the people, and they're the ones that run everything, the big banksters, the foreign banksters, and
is that how we get them out of that control capacity?
Well, how we what?
They have all that money. How do we fight against?
I don't want to say it's a simple thing, but it is, on the one hand, it is a simple thing, but it takes someone with some genius to do it, and that's Trump. That's how we're going to get out of this thing, Trump. Look at it. You know, I was in a position lock and load, ready for that kind of thing to come about upon us. You keep working to try to get the people up to do things and to take back control, and that's a very slow process. And, I know we're heading towards some real serious problems here, and the Second Amendment was going to have to be exercised to defend yourself, not to assault, but to defend. And after Trump became president, I relaxed and started to realize this guy's going to fix the problems. First of all, I knew he was going to, if he got into office, I knew he'd fix the problems, because that's who he is. He's there for a purpose, and he doesn't give up. You know, he's a pit bull.
Yeah.
And I've heard him talk. I've heard him talk over the years many, many times on many talk shows, and this guy was right on point all along for 30, 40 years, whatever it's been. And then you listen to his inaugural address. It just blows your mind what he had to say that. So anyway, I'm not worried about that.
I have a question. I require, if we, I from the community safety, should we, I require people in the county to have carry arms?
No, you can't require anyone. No, you can't require anyone to do that. What you do is educate the people. And that's the, and then as you get organized enough, you know, maybe you get a year into this thing and you're well organized and things are happening and you're gaining power in the communities, within the counties, within the townships, and things are working well. You got a sheriff working on board with you. Part of the plan is to organize the militia, and the militia is everybody. Everybody is the militia.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, in here in New York, here in New York, in the Constitution, it says every able body, and I don't think it even discerns between male or female, but every able body is required to defend the borders of New York State. That's in the Constitution here in New York State. But with that said, that's logical. The thing is once you organize, okay, the Committee of Safety and then the militia, and people are getting educated, and they get educated about the militia, the purpose of the militia, the necessity of the militia, and the responsibility of the individuals to make up the militia, you're going to start to get a majority of the people that's going to respond to that. And then you do something, a weekend or something, once a year. And you make it a family environment thing, but target shooting and all kinds of things, something on the weekend, and you get the militia built up moving on that as you get moving along. The militia, everybody should belong to the militia, and it should be set up in a way that people have the opportunity maybe for go out for a week to get into some serious training. And I think it's important to get to that point. Our founding fathers talked about it. Benjamin Franklin was real big on this, and so I think we need to get real big on this. The people need to be educated and involved, and it's their duty to be part of the militia. So people will do it. I think a lot of the people will get guns. You know, get the proper weapons and be part of the militia and participate, and it could be a lot of fun and excitement at the same time, you know.
Oh, I have a definition on the internet says about the well-regulated militia. It says well-regulated militia in the 18th century tend to be something like well-organized, well-armed, well-disciplined, saying, in Rokov, it didn't mean regulation in that sense that we use it now.
Are you talking about the militia, or are you talking about commerce?
No, about well-regulated militia.
Militia. Well, the militia, there's two forms of the militia. There's the organized militia and the unorganized militia. And the organized militia is something that people actually join, and it's very, very structured, and it's state-run. And it could be federal.
Yeah, I was talking about the well-regulated community before the militia war.
Right. But then there's the unorganized militia, and the unorganized militia is every able body in the state. And again, that should be something that we should very strongly look at as time goes on. I don't know that it's a big necessity at the moment at this point, but at some point in time, each county committee has to start moving in that direction, because that's part of our duty and it's part of our liberty. You know, that's how Israel, but maybe many nations back then too, to some degree, were so powerful, especially Israel. You know, Israel, you know, every able body was part of the militia. The militia was a big thing. And that's how they protected themselves and were able to defend themselves, you know?
Yeah. Then they asked my sister-in-law just define me what able-bodied means. You have to have able mind and able eyesight to see what you're shooting at.
Well, that's true. But again, you know, being part of the militia and participating in the defense of the state doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a weapon. You know, there's lots of things that have to make that all work. So there's lots of different things people could be doing. You know, women could be very much in that, and they don't have to pick up a weapon. But, you know, the food has to be dealt with, ammunition and supplies.
Logistics. Logistics don't require vision, much of a vision situation. You can work from plan out where the troops will go. Logistics.
Mm-hmm. Let me just read the Second Amendment. It says a well-regulated militia. And this is the big point, being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So a well-regulated militia definitely needs to be executed. And, we don't really have a properly formed, well-regulated militia, although we seem to have, but we really don't. And we have to review that, and again, that can only be done at some point in time when we organize enough and people start thinking and talking about these issues on the national level. There's a lot of conversations that need to be taken place concerning national problems, and they have to be on a national level between the committees of safety. And, we kind of prepped in the preparation for this to some degree under... start a committee of safety. Where did I put this? Organize administrative handbook. I know we had put a page up here for dealing with national problems. Maybe it's here. No, that's not it. should be under start a committee of safety. Interviewing candidates, county militia, the several states, militia rules, the Minutemen, Republic Review, Christianity in America, Meet the Founders, Bond and Winds, register to vote. I don't know where that page went to. Should have been under here. It's not.
It's probably in a different area.
I'll have to find. No. I know I put it under here. I don't know why I don't see it here. By the way, Jan and Terry, are you aware that they did an update on our site again?
No, I was not.
Okay, well, they updated our site. We should be calling in and talking to them, and they wanted to make sure that everything is going well. So.
All right. What's not going right?
I'm not seeing anything not going right, so I'm just saying that an update was done. I'm missing a page here. There it is. I don't know how I missed it. National issues, right here.
Okay.
Let me click on that page. But we need to talk with them anyway. And we need to get that civics course back open again. We're having problems opening that back up. You never got it back open, did you?
Okay. I'll try and get a meeting.
Yeah, let's try to connect tomorrow or the next day. Try to get, you know, the three of us. I'd like to be in that conversation.
Okay.
But anyway, getting back to Ross here, national issues are something that we have to start thinking about. We have to start making a list of things, and some of these things will correct themselves. You know, I threw a lot of stuff up here, but a lot of these things are going to correct themselves as we go on. But there are things that people have to do to correct themselves. You know, right now we have a constitutional crisis, okay? And so there's lots of different problems that we have to deal with. We have an economic crisis, and we have a health crisis. We have an environmental crisis. We have an educational crisis. We have a world crisis. We have a media crisis. And the cause, of course, is the progressive movement. That's the problem. But even when they're dealt with and eliminated from the, you know, the game here, so to speak, then we have to deal with you know, a lot of problems that the people have to handle. So we have to get. By the way, I'm getting feedback. Someone's got their mic open. So we have to start getting a national conversation going. Maybe not right this minute, but this is something we need to start discussing soon. And the committees of safety need to come together, which would be the Committee of Correspondence, which should attend a meeting to discuss these issues and see once what we can do about some of these issues and how we would approach them, create a strategy, and so on.
John?
Yep.
Do we have to eliminate a 911 dispatch center, or should we keep 911?
Oh, I think, yeah, I think 911 is a great system set up. It is ingenious, as a matter of fact. It makes it very simple. Things were quite chaotic before the 911 system was set up. And but yeah, it's no, we wouldn't want to get rid of that. What I think we want to do is end a lot of the problems with all of these code violations, and we can eliminate that very simply. That's a simple one to deal with. Okay, it's challenging and bringing it into the Supreme Court. Just on a federal level, we should be able to defeat it. We shouldn't have to get up to the Supreme Court to defeat it.
Should we also put that 911 call center under the control of the sheriff?
Well, that's the point, is the sheriff should be the key point. You know, all of these, look, if we get rid of all of the unlawful judicial processing that's coming out of these town courts and village courts and so on and so forth, they could be handled, the commercial activities can be handled in the county court. So we don't need all of these municipalities. And If you prevent them from writing tickets to the regular public, to the people, these town courts will not be able to survive. The police forces will not be able to survive, and that'll all fall apart. And that's a good thing. You know, the crime. We may have to have more sheriff, more deputies, but again, at least they'll be dealing with serious problems and not with the things that are assaulting the people. Like code violence.
Oh, another way is the sheriff has to deputize the regular citizens to do it.
No. He needs deputies. And it, no, you're talking about posse comitatus. If an emergency comes up and he doesn't have enough people to pull together, he can pull posse comitatus, which is just pull people from the streets, literally, that have a weapon and are willing to participate.
Oh, also. On Yahoo News just recently released news that Clackamas County, Oregon, has approved a new courthouse.
I'm sorry, say this again?
A new courthouse, a new county courthouse.
Where's that?
The old one, they say, is obsolete and safe. We need a new one.
Oh, I don't know anything about it. Where is this at?
Clackamas County in Oregon.
Oh.
State, well,
are they correct? Do they need a new building? I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. You see, a county courthouse is important because it deals with a certain level of problems, and the county courthouses can deal with the commercial activities, you know, the commercial violations, and remember, the state, there's still state police, and the state police could be given code violations. That's part of their job on the highways. You know, they weigh the trucks and do different things, make sure they're not overweight, and make sure these drivers aren't driving too many hours. I mean, there's other regulations that they violate and they can write tickets on. And it would be dealt with in the county that they wrote the ticket. And so that it would be sent over to the county courthouse to be heard and dealt with and you know, just dealt with. And that would be lawful. But these towns, they survive on ticketing code violations on just the common people, which, again, how do they get away with that? Very simple. People aren't educated. They're ignorant. They don't know. That simple. They actually believe it at this point, that they, that this should, this stuff is good. It's not. So, by the way, there's nobody else in the queue if anybody wants to get into the queue. But I guess we continue to talk for a while, Ross, until someone gets in the queue. Go ahead.
Oh, in that situation, is how do we change someone's beliefs to believe in the total system?
Say that again. I missed that.
Because we are used to the legal system.
Oh yeah.
Controlling
yeah.
our lives.
Right. Well, yes, exactly. How do we what?
How do they change their belief? How we make them believe in the new, the actual system is just because
well,
that's
a simple thing to do, believe it or not. And that requires the people to do it, because only the people can do it. No one else can do it, but
the people.
Government will never do it. And the last thing you want to do is allow government to do this. We the people, this is our job. This is, liberty is not free, okay? Liberty is not free. People need to understand that. We need to execute and exercise our duties as one of the people who live in a land that we have liberty, okay? So it's not free. And once we start exercising, first of all it begins with knowledge, okay? We have to educate our children. So we have to have the committee of education within our county that is on a move to make sure they visit every school. It'll take time, every school, and pushing forward a proper education, make sure it happens. And they work with the administrators for the jury. To bring issues to them with schools that are not obeying the law and bringing a proper education. We can push more legislation to require a proper education for our children. I don't have the time right now, but I do plan very much so of being very much involved in writing books in order to educate our children. And, yes. You know, we have to do that at different levels. You know, you have the lower levels of schools. You got first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And then you got the upper end, seventh, eighth, and ninth. And I don't think we need much more than 9 years of school for a child. And I think that they can achieve, with a proper education, children can achieve a college-level education of today within 9 years. Right now, they're being just taught BS, pablum. If you give them pablum.
Yes.
And so that's one thing we have to do. The other thing is to stand up in court and execute our right. We have to understand jurisdiction and let the judge know, hey, you can't do this. Enough people start stepping up and doing this and start suing the court. You sue the court that's violating you and bringing you into jurisdictions unknown, incarcerating you, or really you're being held hostage to some degree because you got to show up to court. It's a real pain in the neck. Showing up to court, taking out your own personal time. But in any event, when we step up and we shut these courts down, okay, the whole thing falls apart.
Yes.
The code violation, police force, all that stuff just falls apart, okay? And then we're not living under that kind of a tyranny anymore. And on the other side, teaching our children a proper education, getting the word out into the public. Again, that's another committee that needs to be working on educating the people in general within our counties, encouraging them, sending information, having certain things happen so that we can invite them to certain things, events, and educate them and introduce them to the Committee of Safety and get them involved and so on and so on. Look, if the people aren't busy doing those things, then guess what? We don't deserve liberty because you can't. It's not free. And liberty, you know, the Constitution does not protect itself. It requires the people to do that. And it requires an educated person to do that. So we have to have knowledge.
John, this is on freedomriver.wordpress.org or .com, whatever. And I'm looking at what they call living in private. They give you a diagram saying in the public and in the private. They say the public, in the public means you are a member of the public. Then you, we the people are in private.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got the idea what they're saying. We'd have to think about that and get into a further conversation. But we do have two other people on the line now, and I'd like to take them and bring this issue up again and bring more information with you on that because it's an interesting topic to talk about. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
Thanks, Ross. Okay, we're going to take our next caller. Thank you. We're going to take Dan from North Carolina. Dan, let me get you. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Dan.
Greetings, Mr. John Drash. I had complications. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I kept battling, and finally I actually just cut the call and recalled the call numbers again for the conference. My computer inside of my screen, I'm looking on my screen, and my computer calls come in from all over, well, literally all over the world, technically, but, and so when I call up your conference call, I finally have determined what's been the problem for many, many times, that I'm sitting there all night long. And when it comes down there, no one. I'm waiting in the queue. What it looks like I'm in the queue, but I'm not.
Well, what is it? What exactly is the problem that causes that?
I found out the problem tonight is when I have finally determined it. When I call your 602-609-9417 like everyone else, then the attendant. Tells us if we want to get in the queue, the *6, the traditional information. And then if you want to ask the question, then 1, add that to it.
*6 and 1.
Right. Yes, sir. What's happening, I've seen this tonight, when I press on with my mouse on the screen, it's got the dial there. Inside of my computer, and when I press it goes *6, and then I went ahead, I didn't hear the auto attendant, and I went ahead and added the 1. Won't work. So I tried it several different times, and I finally, when you helped me, when you said there's no one in the queue, and so finally after waiting from the very beginning when you know, the program started out tonight and many other countless nights. I sat on here all night long and never were in, and even though I was thinking I was in the queue, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the problem is with my computer.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in the queue in a long time. So
I didn't come because every time I come, I thought really and truly you folks were avoiding me because I went, literally hours when it go to 12 or after, and I'd be there just fighting sleep, and never would get to speak. And so now I found the problem out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have not come, because I never could for months and months back, could not, even though I thought I was in the queue, and I keep waiting, all of a sudden, to no avail. But
and
I
you're
found
coming
out,
in on you're coming in on a computer on the app.
Yep, my computer is a Google office phone worldwide, and here's the way I remedied it. Instead of taking my mouse inside the screen, and when the auto attendant says hit the star key and the six, I hit it my shift button on my absolutely keyboard that is attached to my computers and stuff, and I hit the shift button, and I went to the eighth key, and I hit the star button, and then I hit the six, and then the auto attendant, and I said, "Thank you, Heavenly Father."
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "If you want to ask a question, hit one." I hope this is heard by some other people that maybe got disenchanted and thought that, and they went through their computers to this fantastic presentation on Monday night and got disenchanted. I hope this will be, that a lot of people might still be on here and might would hear this and understand. So I used my regular laptop, you know, regular outside of my computer, you know, my address, and like you normally type up a letter or anything. And so then from there, like I said, I hit the shift key over on the left, not very far from the A button, the A key, or the A letter, and the S letter, and the D there on your, you know, your laptop, tablet, address bar. And I hit that star, and then I went to the eighth key above, the eighth number, and I hit that, and that gives you the star. And then immediately I moved over to the left and hit the six, and then I'm reiterating.
Sounds very complex.
Yeah, I hope a lot of other people, I'm sure there's a lot of people uses this Google.
Well, let me understand this. So when you want to get into the queue, this is what I've been telling people, because this is what I've been told. So you correct me if I'm missing a step. You hit star six.
Yes, sir.
And then a one. Or do you have to hit star six, star one?
No, sir. Not so. You hit the star. The auto attendant tells you what to do. Time you, they greet you. Time they
right.
realize.
You star six, mute yourself. Star okay. six, to unmute yourself.
Well, no,
but when you want to get into the queue, how do you get into the queue?
Not in that. Hold on. Well, I'll answer that in just a second. Your auto attendant is awesome. And just as soon as they realize that anyone is called in for your fabulous conference, the auto attendant tells you exactly if you would like to get in the queue is the word. And that they ask. And when they do, they tell you to hit star and the six. And then there's a pause for just a second or two. And then she says, would you like to ask a question? If you do, hit the one key.
Uh-huh. So then it's
yes,
star six, pause.
Yes,
if you want to ask a question, then it's a one.
You just naturally pause and listen to the attendant. You know,
right,
you,
and then it's just a one. There's no star one, right? Just a one.
No, sir. Then she tells you to please press the one key if you want to ask questions.
Okay, so that's it. Just a one.
She's acknowledging right there, Mr. John, that attendee is in the queue, and then she gives them the opportunity, if they would like to ask a question, the fact of it is, then they hit the one. Now, automatically, star six, as you would understand, no one would want to ask a question at all, mutes and allows us to not disturb the National Liberty Alliance Conference. That's the first premise. And just as soon as we have done what the auto attendant told us to do, the star six, then she comes immediately with further instruction. And she don't mess around. She comes immediately and she says, if you would like to ask a question, press the 1 key is what she says. And when you do that, buddy, you sitting in there waiting for everybody else.
I think everybody's got it. So with that done, do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I do.
We only got a few minutes, just so
I
you
know. I'm well aware it's 10:58. Let me sure tell you that I have been instructed by you to do a certain thing.
Uh-huh.
And when I heard you, I know you're a labor of love. And I know that you have been carrying this company and still do, even if you had megabucks. You're that kind. You're a workaholic. And the best workaholic that I know of, and the best friend to everybody. Well,
it's a work of love, though. But go ahead.
It is that. You are a humanitarian. I think you should deserve the humanitarian award. And I'm telling you this genuinely. I mean, when I say something, my yes is my yes, and my nay is my nay. I don't sugarcoat stuff. I say what I feel in my heart. I think that your company and the ones behind that are works with you and all the endeavors, especially you, we all should vote for you to be the humanitarian to save the United States of America from the powers of the that are on what I call on the wrong side of the track in Jacksonville. That's a little term that we use down here, down at Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I am sincere about this. Now, with that said, I have mentioned to you many times when I got, and you've helped me so much. We got to hurry up with this because it's got 1 minute. You have helped me so many times, and your colleagues and Jan and Jerry Apria, and oh my gosh, and we got to a point under your fabulous instructions. People, you need to hear this tonight, where you would be threatened about losing your home. I got news for you. You need to come under the direction of National Liberty Alliance, and they have been there. They've done things. They're not just someone that blows smoke and whistles and all that kind of mess and mirrors. They have absolutely tried and true, proven to go through what you have been subjected to, and they help you every which way within their powers. Well, saying that, I want to say this. I heard you make a statement tonight, and I got to hurry up here because it's 11 right now, and you've carried this company on your backs. I have two CEOs that I have give them an understanding of you and all your colleagues, right on to Mr. Brent Allen Winters. Boy, if I don't have appreciation for National Liberty Alliance for what John Durash does and Jerry Apria when he gets on there, and any one of the else commentators, you rest assured, a real key American to all of us is the Honorable, both of these are honorable, John Durash, the Honorable Jerry Apria, and any other parties that he might bring on there. And in closing, the Honorable Mr. Brent Allen Winters. Sure, I want you to understand in closing, I have two CEOs that I have apprised and given this understanding, and they are willing and would love to team up to help America and help you. And they are willing to give you something that will be passive. You will not have to. You can keep on focusing like you're doing. You'll probably need a link on the website once it's approved by your board. But they want to give you a complete full boat exclusive to their patent, which is in 200 countries and has just now been brought in here to America. And it's every day, Mr. John, that you use this product. Everyone under your umbrella uses this product every week. It's the most spent product that's out of kilter. And it attributes to the tremendous escalation of inflation and the loss of our GP, their gross national product. I should have said it that way.
All right. Well, let me just say, I did get your emails. I did talk to Gerard, and And Gerard is Gerard's out of the state right now. I think he's in North Carolina.
Down right. In Carolina. Man, I wish he would knock on the door. I'd carry him out to lunch at Myrtle Beach or anywhere.
So he's got family down there, and he's been down there. And I told him about these things, and I'm waiting for him to get back so we can look into it.
Good,
so hopefully, you know, he's not here tonight. I was hoping he'd be back tonight.
I didn't hear him, and I know we're a little bit over. Listen, I'm going. I did a cover letter, and I'm telling you, this patent is now being brought, even though it's in 200 countries, real quickly. It is now the ground floor being given out passively and freely with no franchise fees and no hosting fees, and that will go to everyone under your umbrella of National Liberty Alliance. This will reimburse you in a hurry for how many years? I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to close. How many years you've been running National Liberty Alliance?
Well, National Liberty Alliance, I believe, started in 2013, but we've been doing this since 2008.
Okay, we got to close here. I want you to know that the way this thing is, and because of the power that we've got it, it is totally automated. You can rest assured my colleague Cliff Collins has been hired to do this. And we're taking the data straight from our corporate, and you're going to see, you may have seen our manufacturer, and you may have seen our distributor, CEO. They're both CEOs. It's 31 minutes, and I can tell you right now, you will never, ever look back, because if you get a banner on National Liberty Alliance, and I believe I could bring these two people on one night, especially if we can get Brent Allen Winters to interview them, and they would open this up, their patent. They are benefactors for you, and it's going to be mega bucks, my buddy. I'm telling you.
If that doesn't happen,
I'm going to give you mega bucks out of my estate. You look at it.
I appreciate all the nice words and everything. And I'll try to get a hold of Gerard tomorrow. Maybe by Wednesday we'll try to connect. And I want him to see, look into this stuff myself.
I apologize for going over.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Fantastic. Okay. I enjoyed Ross. I enjoyed him the other night. He is a precious American. If I could find him, I'd take him out lunch any day of the week, 7 days a week, if I could. He is a very respected and appreciated individual, and all the people. The lady tonight, yes, absolutely. I enjoyed it here. Oh, we got to close here.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to close down now. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday, and we'll pick it up from there. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Fantastic. All right. Yes, sir. You too.